Back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for joining. The songs that you're hearing today by our beloved sister of the household of faith, Deborah Denise. She's starting out with "I'm Going to Trust You." And she's going to end with "How Can Jesus Love Me Like That?" I'd like to acknowledge God. And our listeners, Memphis, Nashville, Trenton, Iowa City, Tennessee, Portland, Eugene, Oregon, see, Hattiesburg, Jackson, Prentice, Yazoo, Mississippi, Little Rock, Arkansas, Fort Polk, Shreveport, Lafayette, Metairie, Louisiana, Boston, Springfield, Stowington, Terryville, and West Hartford, Connecticut, Maple Valley, Richland, Seattle, Vancouver, Washington, Albany, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Niagara, Newburgh, Poughkeepsie, Queens, Rochester, Staten Island, Suffolk County, Trumansburg, New York, Madison, Manitoba, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, nation's capital, Germany, Canada, Philippines, UK, Nigeria, India, Russia, Australia, Japan, Pakistan, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Romania, France, Spain, Ireland, Norway, Brazil, and Mexico. Thank you for taking the time to tune in to Challenges of Faith radio program. We're talking about continual topics of relationship. You know, I look at everything like a relationship, irrespective of what it happens to be. But tonight we're talking about always wanting attention. You know, the wait on me person. You know, the story is told of a guy, could be a lady, but it's a guy. He said, "My wife likes to keep the mystery in our relationship." And he gave an example. He said, for example, "I never know what is going to arrive for her from Amazon today." You know, it's funny. Isn't it, men? It's funny to the ladies. How come it's not funny to you? All right. So the question is, why don't you spend more time with me? How come we never do this or that? Why are you always visiting your extended family members, friends, always gone, gone, gone? Don't you understand that I'm number one? If you don't want me, somebody else does. I'm attractive, hold a nice position, possess 1,000 degrees, own a home, drive a Rolls Royce, and I'm invited to all of the politically correct functions. Whoa, what's going on here? Well, what's going on? You know, the person went by the pond of water. Come on, let's go on back by the pond of water. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and, you know, I don't know who they prayed to. I know that there's some of you listening. You know who they prayed to. And then there are some of you who are praying the same way. But they prayed. You know, P-R-A-Y-E-D or P-R-E-Y-E-D. Only they truly know. And they prayed, and they wanted someone just like them, you know, just wanted attention. And they kept praying, and they kept praying, and God didn't answer their prayer. But there was an owl, O-W-L, sitting in the tree listening, and the owl got tired of listening. So the owl finally said one day, who, and they just said, they didn't even say anybody. They said, I just want somebody that's just like me, but will give me all the attention. Well, you know, the secular psychiatrist says, attention-seeking behavior is a conscious or unconscious attempt to become the center of attention. Well, we already knew that, didn't we? Oh, but they went on to say sometimes to gain validation or admiration. And it may be driven by jealousy or loneliness. What? But those of you who are fitting that descriptor that the secular psychiatrist is saying, is that you? Are those your motives? Well, let's look into it, not from the standpoint of trying to take away from you or the relationship you desire, because you have a right to whatever relationship you're seeking for your life. But are you showing attention-seeking behavior by saying or doing something with the purpose of just getting the attention of a person or individual surrounding you? Well, are you? Because remember now, you got to look at the causative factors. What's your motive? Come on now, are you fishing for compliments by pointing out all the achievements that you've gotten and you're seeking validation? Or you're walking around trying to be controversial just to provoke a reaction? Or maybe you're running around exaggerating and embellishing stories to just gain praise or sympathy. Or you might be running around just pretending to be unable to do something so that somebody with some ears that's listening to you will take a moment to teach you or help you or try to attempt to do it. But wait a minute. What's going on? Remember now, I'm asking about the causative factors, the root history of it all. As an individual, a value, what's going on? Are you jealous, like the secular psychiatrist was talking about? Are you walking around with low self-esteem? Are you lonely? And the question you got to ask and answer for your life, why are you jealous? I mean, do you feel threatened by somebody because you're getting all the attention, or they're getting all the attention and taking something away from you because you did pray for that other person that's just like you? So if you pray for somebody just like you and they're starting to get the attention that you want all to yourself and they're the same way, what do you think is going to happen? What's going on with your self-esteem? I mean, come on now. Do you think you're being overlooked? Are you lonely? And that's why you're seeking attention? Well, you know, I was sharing with my cousin Red out of New York last evening as we were talking. And I told her a story that she could share with her beloved mom, my mom's only sister. It was about a person who was lonely and happened to be a lady. Could be a guy, but it happened to be a lady. And she went to a pet store and she asked the owner what she could purchase, you know, to help her with her loneliness. And the owner recommended a parrot because the parrot could talk, but the parrot was very expensive, very expensive. Took the parrot home and week one, the parrot never said anything. So she went back to the store, told the owner. The owner was like, well, you know, the parrot needs to exercise. She bought an exercise machine, very, very expensive. Took it home. Week two went by. She went back to the store, told the owner, the parrot never talked, never said a word. The owner said, well, you know, the parrot needs a mirror so that while it's exercising, it can run up and down looking at itself. She bought the very, very, very expensive mirror. Week three went by. She went to the store, and she was crying. And the owner wanted to know what's wrong. And she said that her parrot had died. He said, died? She said, yeah. He said, well, did the parrot ever talk when you, the exercise machine? She said, no. He said, did the parrot ever say anything when you purchased the mirror? She said, no. He said, well, before the parrot died, did the parrot just, did he ever say anything? She said, you know, come to think of it, he did. And the owner said, well, what did the parrot say before he died? She said, you know, the lady that was lonely who bought the parrot said, you know, while the parrot was lying there dying with a faint, you know, F-A-I-N-T voice, he beckoned for her to come near so he could say something to her. And as she got near, she could barely hear him, but he said, hey, that store where you purchased the exercise machine and the mirror, and she said, yeah. He said, listen, do they have any food down there? You know, F-O-O-D, just before he passed away. You're lonely? Is that why you're seeking attention? Do you feel underappreciated or uncomfortable when you're not the center of attention? And the question is, what are you using to become the center of attention just so you can get your way? I mean, are you changing your behavior, you know, like becoming more provocative or, you know, your emotions going here and here, they're becoming shallow and shifting? I mean, is it to the degree where you're affecting your image of yourself? And what's going on with those relationships you have, you know, those interpersonal ones? Think about it. You pray for another person just like you. Just like you. And here's maybe how it really went. Only you really know. Because you know God didn't answer this prayer. Dear God, send me a self-important person like me, who is preoccupied with dreams of power, success, and more. Send me that person who believes like me in their own uniqueness and demand excessive admiration, someone who has a sense of entitlement and unreasonable expectations. Send me somebody like me who will take advantage of others just to achieve their own ends and who is unwilling to identify with or recognize the needs and feelings of others just like me. The only reason why I say it as a believer of the household of faith, the God of Scripture didn't answer that prayer. And speaking of Scripture, and you know I was going to get there. What does the Bible say? Well, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And that's in Romans. Now, I'm going to encourage you to find out where it is. But over in James chapter 4, verse 6, that I'm going to give, but he gives a greater grace, you know, love and mercy. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 5, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. You notice it didn't say be a walking mat. You know it didn't. You ready to continue? You sure? All right. Just got some food for pondering questions. What form of attention are you seeking? Why? Who do you really need in your life? Who do you really need in your life?
How can Jesus love me like that? How can Jesus love me like that? How can Jesus love me like that?